I'm going to invite Andrew to come up. Izzy, if you can help me as well. Andrew's our guest speaker. I know a bit about him. I've met him in London a few months ago, and he used to worship in this church when he grew up. His father was a church warden, so he's a proper Anglican. His father's called Gordon Chapman. So he grew up here. He then was a youth leader here for a year, more or less. Am I right in saying that? Then he went up to Fulham to work as youth leader. No?
Went to Southampton.
Southampton, well, nearly.
9 years.
Southampton, that was it, sorry. And now he heads up an institute called London School of Supernatural Ministry. And he's going to leave some leaflets here, if you like, to know a bit more. And I think that's it. I think it's up to Izzy now. The proper questions.
The proper questions.
The important questions. Yeah? Okay, so if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I think it'd have to be flying. I think that would be amazing, just to like be a human drone, but also just, you wouldn't have to like wait at the airport, or you could just go fly over the States. That'd be good, be cheap, and you wouldn't have to wait, and you wouldn't have, you know, babies crying and all that.
Yeah. Okay. And what is your ideal sandwich?
Ideal sandwich, hopefully anyone from school taking notes. So ideal sandwich would be sort of a slightly toasted granary bread, anchor butter, a layer of beechwood smoked maple bacon, and then just some lovely sausages on the top with another layer of granary.
Brilliant.
You gave me some time to think about it. So,
yeah. But that was a good answer.
That's good. That's
I rate
good.
That, so well done.
Okay, thank you very much.
Father, we open to listen to your word today, and I just pray that you'll guide Andrew as he opens his word and as he shares to us. Lord, I thank you for the gifts you have given him. I just pray that you'll enable him to use them this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I can sort of see you out there. It is a very interesting place. It's a real joy for me to be here. And can I just say, what an awesome leader you have in Nico. Just a man of, I just want to really honour you. You want someone leading you who really loves Jesus and really loves people. And this is one of those men, and that's just, so it's a real honour to come and to meet with you and to be back here. I can't believe it. So I was baptised as a baby in the font that used to be at the back, and I grew up in Moderns with Vicky and Avril and Chris, and Chris, who was our leader. Where are you, Chris? He's out there. And we used to sit over here. It's good to see that you still sit in this side of the church. And then having done university, as we said, I used to run the house, which I think is still called the house, the Pathfinder group. So yeah, so it's really great to be back. And so I'm sort of vaguely catching a few faces of people like, oh, I sort of know you. I'm so sorry if I get your name wrong. But yeah, so it's really great to be here. I feel like a son of Ashton coming back. And for those of you who are in the youth group here, you could be here in 20 years' time. So be warned. This is an amazing church that sends out extraordinary people and has done for years and years and years across the globe. And the training and the love and the family you get here in Ashted has set me up, has set loads of my friends up. I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit during your confirmation service, sitting in that chair right there. And I know that all of those people, the friends I've been around, are doing amazing things for Jesus. So one, thank you for those who prayed for me as a young person and who continue to pray for young people. And young people, watch out. You're in a place that will send you literally around the world. Okay. Right. So I want to come and share with you some of the things that God has been doing. But I have a rule that I really must have you promise me that you will do. Okay. I only have one rule, and this is it. You like rules?
Yeah.
Everyone loves rules. Okay. Here's my rule. So I'm going to share with you some stories about what God is doing. And the thing about testimonies, about stories, well, this is what I used to do. I used to sit where you're sitting right now, and I would hear a story, and this is what I would do, and this is what I don't want you to do. Is that okay? So what I would do is I'd hear the story and go, oh, wow, that's amazing. That person must just read their Bible so much. They must really love Jesus. They must be the holiest person in the world. There is no way that I could do what they've done. Or the other part of me would go, I could do that. That's no problem. I could definitely do that. I've heard that story. I can do that. Now, I call that testimony tennis. It's where you hear a story and then you judge whether you can do it or not. And here's my rule. Please, please don't do that. The whole point of sharing stories about what Jesus is doing is not to big up the person who the story came to. It's to big up Jesus who the story made happen. And so here is a true fact. When you hear a story of what God has done, it already automatically gives you the faith to repeat the same thing. You don't need anything else. You just need to hear the testimony of what God has done. So is that okay to have that rule? If you hear a story about what is gone, would you go and repeat it?
Yeah.
Oh, let's just try that again. If you hear a story of some stuff I'm going to share that what is gone, would you know that you've got the faith to go and repeat that?
Yes.
Okay, we shall see. Let me ruin your lives. So, one of the things that I have learnt over the years is that for us to be successful in who we are as Christians, we need to move in love and power. If we don't move in love and power and we just sit in our church and leave the door slightly ajar, then maybe one or two interested people might go, "Ooh, I wonder what's happening in that building over there. I can hear some lovely music going on. I might go and inquire." And they may just accidentally become Christians. If we don't move in love and power and we do nothing, that's what's the only avenue for people to come and know who Jesus is. If we move in a lot of love but no power, we will do lots of lovely things, lots of good, honourable, great things. We'll feed people, we will serve people, we will take furniture around to them, we will do lots of lovely things. But actually, will anything really shift in their lives? And often what I find is when we do things out of a lot of love but no power, we end up getting quite tired. If we do things out of a lot of power but no love, well, that's just horrible. "Hi, my mission in life is to heal everyone. I am the great healer. I am here to demonstrate the power, and you are my next person I'm going to heal." That's horrid. The true sweet spot that Jesus has for us is to operate in love, where we're loving the person in front of us, but we're also demonstrating the power of God. It what brings transformation in your life. For those of you who've given your life to Jesus, you will at some point have a moment where Jesus has spoken to you. There's been a moment of power. Something has shifted. You've gone yes to him. And then you've experienced his love. And this is what we have as our daily bread, love and power to move in. When we were setting up the school, the Lord gave me this picture that the people that God was going to bring to the school were the most important thing. They were the solid gold jigsaw pieces. And our job was to help them to know that they were solid gold. For us to know that you are valuable. Not gold on the outside, solid gold. To teach people how to move and vibrate, how to operate with how heaven operates. How to be really connected together as family. Not an easy thing, but it's what the Lord has for us to do. This amazing jigsaw of all these different ages and stages and backgrounds and experiences and histories designed to be one picture together. And what does that mean to do that well? What does it mean to be planted where God has for you to be in your school, in your work, at home, when you're going into Tesco's, whatever that is? What does it mean for you to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven wherever you go? And so that's what we're doing. We're training people to do that. And I get the opportunity to go and encourage churches, and that's what I'm hopefully here going to be encouraging you. So the school is based near Brick Lane, and we have quite a few curry houses in Brick Lane, for those of you who have ever been there. And the Lord has given us completely free sort of rein, if anyone offers us a curry, to offer to pray for them. The most of the area around the school is a Muslim area, Bangladeshi Muslims. And so one particular afternoon several years ago, I'm walking up Brick Lane and these two guys come to me and say, "Hi, sir, would you like to have a curry?" And it's like, "No, I'm so sorry, I've just eaten. But can I share some things? I get messages for people. Is it all right if I share some things that Jesus is telling me about you?" And they were like, "Okay then." I said, "Well, Lord showed me that you got married 2 weeks ago and your wife's really scared about having children because there'll be lots of miscarriages in the family." "How on earth do you know that?" "Well, because Jesus loves you and he knows me. I love him and he speaks to me about you so that you would know that he was real." "That's true. I got married 2 weeks ago And my wife and I were discussing this morning how petrified she is because of the number of miscarriages in the family. I said, well, why don't you phone your wife right now and tell her that Jesus says, this is a Muslim guy, tell her that Jesus says that she's not going to have any problems having children. There will be no miscarriages over the family. And his friend is like, what about me? So I just said, well, look, I just declare that your business, because Jesus loves your business, will take £2,000 today. And they were like, ah, that's rubbish. I mean, that's very clever first guess. But that's rubbish. We never take £2,000 in a day. I mean, weird. You can go away. I mean, they didn't say that, but in those sort of words. So I thought, fine, no problem. I left. Came back the next week, walking past the same place. Two guys come running out, say, excuse me, you're the guy that prayed last week. Our boss wants to meet you. I was like, why does he want to meet? He said, we took over £2,000 and we told him that the Christian had come and prayed and he wants to know how you did it. And so we get invited in to the restaurant and the guy sits us down, gives us coffee, and we explain that Jesus wants to bless his, as a Muslim, Jesus wants to bless his business, as to demonstrate that Jesus is real. And so we talk about that, and he brings us 10 members of his staff that are sick, and each one of them got healed, including a guy who was having a gallbladder operation. And one of the girls that was with us was able to, this is a girl, being able to touch a Muslim man, that shouldn't happen, was able to place her hands here and pray, and he felt heat going into his stomach. And then we found out a week later he'd gone for a scan before the operation, his gallbladder had been completely healed. We are designed as Christians, this is who you are right now, to move and operate in assurance and confidence. Let me say that again. As a Christian, you are filled with heaven, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you are designed to operate with assurance and confidence. Let's just get some scripture behind that, because it's always good to back that up, isn't it? Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up. This is what I am attempting to do now. To love, to do good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but to encourage one another. The word encourage literally means to in and courage, to put courage in. This is why we are what we are meant to do when we meet. All the more as you see the day drawing near. What would that confidence look like? What would that assurance look like? Well, I have a community of people who come from all different churches. Some of them mainly come from Essex, but we pray for them. We have a running joke between Essex and Surrey, because I'm definitely a Surrey boy, but I'll never let you into that. I haven't got time for that. But we have a whole bunch of people who come from different churches to school. And the fruit of a community, an environment, a culture, where people are free to take risks and to step out and to be confident, are some of these stories. So Lauren, who's our head of school, she's amazing. She came to me 2 years ago and she said, I found out that in the second to last night of Ramadan, they believe that it's called the night of power. And they believe that Allah will speak to them and they will speak to them directly and they'll be healed. I know what we should do. That night is on our evening school light. Let's scrap evening school and let's all go to the mosque and pray for Muslims, if that's what they believe, that God is going to speak to them that night. And part of me was a bit like, we've just had the van going into the mosque at Finsbury Park, and there's a lot of, the mosque we're going to is quite a radical mosque in East London. Yeah, why not? Let's give that a go. Let's take a risk. So we took our whole evening school, and we were standing outside the mosque, and we had these amazing opportunities to prophesy and speak over all these Muslims who were standing outside. And they were like, how do you know that? How do you know that's my business plan? How do you know that's what my passion is? How do you know this? And every time it's because Jesus loves you and he wants you to know that he's real. And so some of the ladies who've been prophesying got invited into the mosque. So they are now in the mosque in the middle of Ramadan, and they're getting like sympathy aches and pains where there are people who are ill around them. So they're saying to the ladies, this old lady over here, we think she's got a problem with the back, lower back here. Could you go? Yes, she does. Would you mind if we just pray for her in Jesus' name to be healed? So in the middle of a radical mosque in East London, our ladies are then placing hands onto these Muslim women and they're getting healed in Jesus' name in the mosque. Just to remind you what we said about testimonies earlier. Okay. And then they said, would you like to come and pray in the main prayer area? And our ladies went, yeah, we wouldn't mind praying, but can we pray to Jesus? Yes, of course, you're more than welcome. So while everyone is bent over in their call to prayer, they are standing there. Jesus, would you come and appear to all these Muslims? Would you come and meet them in their dreams that they would know that you are real, that you are the man in white? Lots of Muslims have dreams of man in white. It's Jesus meeting them. And the Muslims begged us to stay to eat with them because they were so intrigued about what is going on and what God is doing. We have a strip club. I shall make this PG-13. We have a strip club up from us. And again, some of our ladies who are very bold and assured of this, like, it's like, we want to bring and see Jesus impact that strip club. So I was like, okay, as guys, we're not going, but we'll pray for you. You're more than welcome to go. So they go, and the guy standing outside the strip club is literally 7 feet wide and 7 feet high. Absolutely huge. And so they said, we would like to come in, and we'd like to be able to pray for the women in the club. And he went, no. And so they said, well, please, could we come and pray for you in the club? He said, no. And so they stepped aside, they prayed, he said, Jesus, would you make a way open for us to go and to minister to the women in the club? And so they go back in, said, please, could we speak to the manager? He won't want to speak to you, but you're okay, I'll go get him. So the manager comes out, they say to the manager, we would love to pray for the women in the club. Well, it's never happened before. Yeah, all right then. And so our ladies got invited in, and went and just got to meet the ladies who were there and got to pray for them. And now that has built an entire, about every couple of months, they go in with bags of blessing or they go in with gifts or flowers and they go love and pray for the women who are working in that place. And so when the manager sees them now, he's like, ladies, stop what you're doing. The Christians are here. They've come to bless you. Receive a gift from them. You see, the assurance of faith that our ladies have within the school is they see something around that's not good and they go, we are going to go there with love and power to demonstrate the kingdom. You see, it's in our DNA as Christians. We are designed to push things forward. We're designed to change things. We're designed, you know, changing things isn't about, you know, it's really just about our hearts. We say to our students when they come, if you want to hear the Lord really clearly, so I was standing on the steps of the Royal Exchange, and my difficult person to pray for is people in three-piece suits. So I find it quite nervous doing that. But anyway, there was a guy there, and the Lord highlighted him, and he was like, go and pray for him, Andrew. And it's like, oh, do I have to? It's like, yes, off you go. This is what we do now. Okay, Lord, off I go. And so I said, I'm so sorry to disturb you. I get messages for people. Would you mind if I shared something I had for you? And he was like, okay. And then Jesus just showed me directly. I said, I'm a Christian. Jesus is telling me that you're just about to have an interview with a German company and it's involved in some travel. And Jesus wants you to know you're going to get the job. And he was like, I have an interview in 20 minutes with a German company and I hope there's travel involved. That's amazing. How on earth did you know that? Well, it's like, well, I didn't know that, but Jesus knows that. And he wants you to know that he loves you. Could I pray for you? I'm not religious. It's fine. I'm not religious either, I said. but could I pray for you? He said, well, I wouldn't normally accept prayer, but that word was so accurate. Yes, please. So right there on the steps of the Royal Exchange, I've got to be able to put my hand on this businessman and ask Jesus to come and bless his day, bless his interview. You see, we are designed to hear God's voice, to demonstrate love and power wherever we go. And when students come to us, one of the things that they say is they watch this culture that we have going out. It's like, wow, we never saw people We don't see people. We rush past. And we're learning that to hear God clearly is just about loving well. We can all do that. When your heart goes out to somebody, and then whatever the Lord puts in your imagination, we share that. And like, amazingly, 9 times out of 10, probably more than that, what we share is just blows people away. Because it's Jesus speaking to them. We're designed to move in confidence and assurance. But if we're really honest, most of what we do as Christians is move in anxiety and fear. I just need to get to the service tonight. Because I'm so full of anxiety and fear. And maybe if I've been a good boy or a good girl, and maybe if the man with the magic hands is at the front and I get the right prayer and the right word, then maybe God will just give me something to ease this anxiety and fear that I have. And it's just not what the Lord has for us. He lives inside you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. And the Holy Spirit and the Father, they are totally connected together. There's no separation from them. So as your Father in heaven looks you right now, he's slightly jealous of the fact that you have the Holy Spirit inside you. There's no disconnect between you and him. The only issues that we have in life come between our ears. And as I say to our students, as I remind myself on a daily basis, the struggles that we have in life are mainly because we're believing one of two lies. A lie about God or a lie about ourselves. And the lies about God is that he isn't good. I love that song. He's a good, good father. Man, if we could just sing that every day of our life. He's a good dad. He's a good dad. He's a good dad. He's a good dad. We went to Holland and we went out on the streets. Danny was with me. And we went out into this town and we just noticed that in the town there were so many wheelchairs and motor scooters. And we were just like, this is crazy. There are so many here. And so we got chatting to people and we found out the majority of people were Christians. And so we said, you know, could we pray for you to be healed, to come out of your wheelchair? We've seen God do it. We've seen legs grow. We've seen pain go out of bodies. All sorts of amazing things happen. So we offered to pray for them. And they would say, oh, no, God has given me this sickness to teach me something. I am a better Christian because I've received the sickness that God has given me. That is just not true. He doesn't have sickness to give. God doesn't give us sickness to try and make us better people. That would mean he was quite a sort of not very nice dad. But he is such a good father. He doesn't use sickness as a way of trying to improve us or trying to discipline us. Sickness comes from one place and one place only, and that's from the enemy. And what the enemy loves to do is to blame God for the things that he has actually done. And so we are designed, instead of anxiety and fear, to be filled with his peace and his joy and his love. Peace is a huge part of God's economy for us as believers. And you know, for me, my early warning system when things aren't going so well is either I've kicked something or I'm down the bottom of a box of ice cream or that the chocolate started to really fill in. And that's when I know I'm not doing very well. And then I may turn up at church and someone will say, how are you doing? It's like, well, it's been about 4 weeks now and I'm really not doing very well at all because, yeah. And then eventually I'll share what's going on. The thing is, the Lord has for us to have a slightly earlier warning system than ice cream. And that is when we sense our peace goes or our joy goes. So my little top tip for you guys is if you sense that your peace or joy goes in anything, at that point stop and go, okay, Lord, what just happened? Did someone say something that hurt me because it's something to do with my past? Has something just happened? I've just lost my peace and my joy. And to live our level of expectancy of having joy and peace, that's our normal. So when we feel it's slightly dropped, then to go to him and say, why have I lost my joy? What just happened here? Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there something I've just done? I want to get back to that place of joy and peace. So that it becomes something that is solid and real for us. All of this is a bigger thing that I think the Lord is doing through us and through lots of places across the globe. And that is a shift between some old ways of thinking and the kingdom way of thinking. And so I want to go through several examples of that. In the old way of thinking, this is how the supernatural, this is what I used to think, how the supernatural worked. People who heard God and demonstrated healing and saw miracles could happen, they must be really holy. So if I make myself really holy, then maybe I can earn my way up through the gate of the supernatural. And then because I'm holy and pure and clean, God will trust me to be able to hear his voice and to see healings happen. That's what I've spent most of my Christian life doing, working really hard, you know. What I've got to do is I've got to pray every day. That will be the answer. Or if I read my Bible every day, that will be the answer. Or if I give all my money away, that will be the answer. Or if I go and serve in the food bank, that will be the answer. All those things are good. But they need to be done out of a place of love and just a giveaway, not to earn something. In the kingdom culture way of doing things, God gives his gifts to everyone the very second that you open your life up to Jesus. The very second he comes and lives inside with you, he has not withheld anything from you. You're designed to immediately know how to heal, to see people hearing God's voice, to see miracles happening around you. And in fact, so this is what I'm learning. As I learn to step out and the gifts that I already have, as I see people coming through our school, as I go to churches and I encourage people that you have got it already. You are lacking nothing. He has given you everything you need. As you start to operate in those things with faith and with making a load of mistakes, I'll come on to that in a minute, then guess what? You are into this incredible life of intimacy with him, of seeing him do stuff. Now, when you're operating and seeing healings and getting words and all these miracles happening around you, guess what that does to your internal relationship with him? You just crave him. I just want to be with him. Do you know whose job it is to make you holy? It's the Holy Spirit's job. As we flow with what the Holy Spirit's doing, he is going around and transforming us. Do you know even this? As the Father in heaven looks at you right now, who does he see? He sees Jesus. Does he see any of your sin? No, he just sees Jesus, because Jesus paid for it all. So with the Father right now, as he is looking at you, he is just delighting and smiling and so proud of you and so delighted over you and just wants you to know how much he's poured into you, that you are valuable and wanted and gifted and talented, and he trusts you to heal people and he trusts you to demonstrate miracles. And it's not about whether you're 10 or whether you're 110 or however age you are. He has given these things as an overflow of his love for you. And in that, this transformation of us being holy and of going from glory to glory happens. It's not about making ourselves good, then get the gifts. It's about flowing in what we already have and then seeing God do the transformation in our lives. And I've seen that happen so many times. In the old way of thinking, we think we get our sense of worth and value by the amount of hard work we put in. Oh, you're not going to be something in that church until you have done at least 20 years on the PCC. Then you've got a place of identity and importance and value and worth. So I'm sorry, young people, you're not old enough to be on the PCC, but you know, once you're there and you've done your 20 years, then you will have that sense of worth and value that God really trusts. That's an old way of thinking. The new way of thinking is, when the Father created you, he spent time knitting you together. He has placed ideas, passions, desires, dreams, giftings in every single one of you. And we get this amazing opportunity to find out what he's already spoken over us. We don't have to earn it. All the Greek thinking that we learnt at school or university, that you'll get there if you work hard. Now, that doesn't mean, kids, that you don't need to work hard at school. Please work hard at school. That's very important. But in terms of the kingdom and in terms of the God's identity, he's already said who you are. Do you know who you are? Because if you're going to operate as God wants you to operate, you need to operate out of who you are. If you don't, then ask someone to say, would you please ask God for me who I am? It's called prophecy. And prophetic words build up, encourage, and strengthen us so that we can have confidence and assurance to operate out of who we are. The other thing that God gives us for us to find out who we are is you guys, each other. Do you know, as I started with, I see Nico. I see he's an amazing leader. He's an amazing man. He's really gifted. Now, when I speak that to him, it's not because I'm trying to get something from him or trying to falsely work him out. This is part of what a family does to encourage and build one another up. He knows he's a good leader. I hope he does. But there's an affirmation of the gifting in him because one of us as a family speaks it. Every single person in this room has an ability to do that with each other. And do you know when it's really beautiful? It's when those from an older generation watch what's happening in a younger generation and initiate with them and go up and say, I love the way you led worship there. I loved how you answered that question when you do that. You're so confident at the front. I'm really proud that you're part of this family. And young people, when somebody over here does something amazing or does something service, to get out of that, I'm just going to seem so uncool, but just to go up and say, thank you so much for praying for me. Or for being part of this church. How long have you been part of this church? I've been part of this church. Thank you so much for being part of this church for 40 years. Because we get to build one another up. Come on, you can probably do a better job than me. In the old way of thinking, we need to come to church to be told what to do. We need to have leaders that control. We have to have control. We have to have control over our people. In the new way of thinking, we're designed to think. You know, not this church, but I go to a number of churches where the vicar's spending all week going, if I don't get a word of the Lord from them, the people aren't going to be able to know what to think all week. You know, each of you have a brain. Each of you have a relationship with God. And it's good to have the person who is spiritually leading you give you some ideas about what to think about and to be inspired and be challenged and work that through. You're not sitting there like brainless sheep going, I have no idea what to do this week. Please tell me, Andrew. No, you're designed to think. And we must have Christians who can think, because the whole thing about how the kingdom moves forward is through creativity. And to have creativity, you need to have an opinion. To have an opinion means you need to think, and to think means you have to be able to disagree with somebody without that falling out with them. Everyone in this room will have a different viewpoint about something. Does that mean we're unified? Absolutely, because we all love Jesus and we all love each other because we're part of one family. But it's important that we allow people to have different views and different thoughts and for them to still know that they're loved. In the old way of thinking, everyone has to think the same thing. Don't you dare think something different. If you think something different to me, you are out. That's how the Protestant church splits and splits and splits and splits. In the new way of working, in the kingdom way of thinking, you know that I can love you and you are safe to have a different idea and I can listen to you and I can still, first of all, tell you that you are loved and you are valued even though you think something different to me. Because each of us actually, inside, have this thing going on of, where do I fit in? Am I part of something? And so we do the what's right check to see whether we're in or not. So I could put up something controversial like, I was going to say Brexit, but I won't be that too controversial. We could put up something like, you know, baptism of children. And we could have a load of people saying, I think it's important that we baptise children. And other people saying, I think they need to be old enough to be 10 years old to be able to know what they're being baptised into. But that's okay. You can have a difference of opinion and still love one another. You can love Radio 4 and still listen to Capital. You know, the only way of really re-worshipping is choir and Latin chanting and, you know, the latest Hillsong songs and still be united together. In fact, what you're doing there is actually demonstrating the diversity of a family, which is also really significant for the world to see. In an old way of thinking, we are looking for some sort of Christian celebrity, the person with the power who will come and sort the issue out. And you know, I get myself into lots of trouble with this. So I went to Holland. I'm working with a denomination in Holland. I won't say which one. And I said to them, by the way, when it comes up to ministry time, I know you will all want to come get for me to pray for you because you think somehow I'm special. But I just want to know I'm not, because I'm just the same as you. So I won't be doing ministry time. And the end of the thing came and they said, and Andrew will be standing at the front and he'll be doing the ministry time. And I was like, And so what happened is people lined up for healing, and so they lined up there, and I said, look, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to pray for you for healing. Is there anyone here who's never seen anyone healed? People put their hands up. Off you come, here you go, you just lay hands here, oh, you're healed, that's great. And that, anyone, not anyone? And we just got people involved and engaged. Because it's important to have people that inspire and encourage. But otherwise we put people up on a pedestal and we say, oh, you've got 40 years experience as a Christian, you can heal. You've only been a Christian 1 minute, you can't. Rubbish. The new way of thinking is that we have everything we need. In the old way of thinking, we look at what's going on around us and we think the world is so dark, we can't make a difference. What can we do, even in our local area, let alone what's going on with government and politics? In the new way of thinking, we realise that when you have a heart for something, then God's given you an authority to speak. And I can't tell you the number of places that God has got us into. And, you know, I'm just not part of the Christian mafia, or I don't have like an extended, huge Christian family that gets us into places. But 6 weeks ago, I was sitting in an office outside the House of Parliament, and there's a member of the cabinet sitting there. And this opportunity to pray for her and to let Jesus tell her how amazing she was. And there she was weeping away. Does Jesus really see me that way? Yes, he does. He sees you as courageous and courage. I'm scared most of the time. That's not how God sees you. Let us pray for you to know his boldness, his encouragement. And so when stuff you see on the news or things change and you feel you can't do anything about it, you are a royal son and daughter. You have been given authority. The way your heart goes out to something and literally all you do is to speak, Father, I declare this changes. See, something our language has changed from, Lord, if you're not too busy and if my prayer is okay and I've said the words in the right order, and if you're sort of listening, I don't quite know whether you're up there or not, if you could possibly, if you wouldn't mind, if you were in a good mood, possibly shift in this situation, our prayer is changing from that to, I'm a royal son and daughter. I've been given authority in my voice, and I declare this thing changes. Whether we do that over healing or over what's happening around the world, we're learning how to do that. Last thing. There's so many things I could go through the differences, but I'll just leave you hanging. The last thing is this. In the old way of thinking, most of what we decide to do in life is often based on our experience. So I could talk to you about healing. I'm saying, well, we're going to do some healing today. And for some of you here, it's like, oh, I did that about 10 years ago. And I pray for someone to be healed and it didn't work. Never going to do that again. And I pray for this person and it didn't happen. I pray for this person and it didn't happen. And so what happens is we actually place our experience above Scripture. It's not a very comfortable place to be. In this new kingdom way of thinking, what we're learning to do is to celebrate the risk over getting it right. So at school, we have testimony time in the morning. And the reason we do that is because, again, I'm sure none of you guys do this, but most of us in Christians are professional moaners about what's not going on well. Not you guys. And so what we're learning to do in our culture is to always start with, what is God doing? What is he doing? coming from a viewpoint that he is working at some point in some way. And even if that means we have to go back for a couple of weeks to a testimony where God did something 3 weeks ago, we'll go back to that and go, this is what he is doing. Praise God, he's a good dad. Now, we haven't seen him quite come into this area yet, but we're going to stand from a position of faith that he is at work, rather than God's not listening to my prayer, God doesn't understand what's going to do, God's not healing me, etc., and have that as our focus. In this new way of thinking, we learn to... So when we share testimonies in the mornings, we get people to share testimonies of, I was on the tube and I went up to somewhere and I said, have you got a broken leg? And they went, yeah, how did you know that? I said, can we pray for it to be healed? And they go, yes, wow, they felt heat and power. And we go, okay, that's just normal. And then the testimonies we really want to hear are the ones where it hasn't gone well. So we'll have somebody stand up and say, do you know, I had this real conviction, this guy over there, he was like a captain of a ship, and so I went up to him and I said, so sorry, sir, I've just got this word for you, is it all right if I share with you? I hear Jesus for people, I just want to offer this to you. I just see that you're a captain of the ship. And the guy goes, no, I don't like ships, I hate water. Now, our response as a school is to stand up and clap that person, because we're clapping them taking a risk. And trusting about, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, it's the taking the risk that's the thing that breaks. So when you're going off to the local corner shop and you're standing there and you're like, okay, I heard this guy, he used to be the youth here, and I'm going to get my paper and I want to get a word for him. And so I think Jesus says he's a kind man. So you go up to him and he goes, come and join me. You're designed to be up here, that's fine. And so you go up to him and say, I'm learning to hear for God. And can I just say that I think Jesus says you're a kind man. You've taken a risk. Whatever happens, whether that person receives it or not, you have taken a risk. And so well done for taking a risk. And if we can celebrate each other in taking the risk, then guess we're going to see more of the kingdom happen. We're going to see more people healed. One quick story, and then we're going to do an activation. One of the young people that I worked with, I was in Margate at the time with one person, and we had a phone call, and his sister had twin girls, they were 9 months old, and we had this phone call, and his sister said, the girls are very sick, we're going to hospital, could you come back? So I'm driving in the van on the way back with this guy, and the Lord says to me, okay, Andrew, you are going to be praying for a dead baby today. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And it's like, yes, we've been working this through for the last couple of years about what you would do if you had an opportunity to pray for someone who was dead. Would you do that? Would you have the faith to do that? And you've been practicing that through in your imagination. I say, yes, I have, Lord, but today really isn't the day that I'm really up for that. He goes, no, that is going to happen. And it's like, okay, Jesus, so we're deathly silent. It's very scary. We're not quite sure what's happened to the two girls. We have another phone call about 20 minutes later, and Ollie's sister says, one of the twins has died. Please, would you come? So we're getting there, we get to Chelsea Westminster Hospital, and I'm just going to drop him off, and another phone call from the sister saying, I'm the youth worker in the church at the time, and we just have another phone call saying, could you ask Andrew to come in? And I'm like, no, Lord, my life. So we go into the parents' waiting area, and everyone is weeping around, and the mum puts this baby into my arms, and my first response is, this could be me with my daughter. That's another testimony you will hear some other time. This could be me with my daughter. And there was Tilly, and she was cold. And so I'm standing there looking down, thinking about myself, and the Lord's like, you're not here for this. I said you'd be praying for a dead baby today. Get on with it. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm learning to move from a place of joy rather than from a place of fear. And sometimes I don't feel like being very happy, and I didn't feel like happy at this time. And so the Lord's teach me how to fake laugh. So I'm standing there, and everyone's weeping around, and I'm going, ha, 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 ha. And then a real laughter comes. And then I feel the presence of the Lord come, and I start shaking, and I'm praying for life to come into this little baby. And I'm shaking so much, I can see her eyelids are starting to shake up and down. But she's still really cold. So we pray, we stop, I stop shaking, she stopped shaking, her eyelids stop moving. And we pray again, and nothing happens. And the doctor said, it's time for us to take the body now. And so I looked to the mum, and the mum says, I trust you, Andrew, to hand the body over. Which was just the most extraordinary thing. And then the mum says to me, and she's already had faith that I'm going to raise her daughter back to life, said, my other daughter's fighting for her life down the corridor. And so I have an option now. I'm walking down the corridor towards the A&E department of Chelsea Westminster, and I've got a choice. Do I allow my experience of praying for a dead baby and not coming back to life to affect what I'm going to do next in praying for the second child? And so the Lord gave me the faith, because it's a gift. No, faith isn't something you have to work up. Faith is something you can ask for. He gives it to you. I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me the faith right now, because that just didn't work. And so I got into the room. The other baby was very ill. Prayed in Jesus' name for life to come. And the baby recovered 20 minutes later. And I went home 3 hours later, fully healthy and well. And the next day, we got into the morgue with the baby who died. And we got to pray again, and the whole of literally the floor was rocking with the power of God. And I have no idea why this baby didn't come back to life, but we prayed everything we could for this baby to come back to life, because we're learning to celebrate the risk, celebrate the risk. And the baby didn't come back to life. And the mum said to me, Angie, would you ask God what's going on here? And so I saw a picture of this little girl playing with two older boys running around Jesus' feet. And the mum went, oh, those are the two miscarriages I had. I know she's with Jesus now. And their whole family came to church on Sunday, and three of them gave their lives to Jesus. And I saw them last week at a wedding, and they all came up, and they were like, if you hadn't taken a risk with our other daughter, here she is, then she would not be alive right now. We are designed to celebrate the risk that we take rather than the success. And trust him to help us go from where we are to where Jesus is. Jesus healed everything. We are learning how to do that. John Wimber prayed for 2,000 people before the first one got healed. How many people would you pray for healing and nobody got healed? What would your number be? Would you pray for 50 and no one got healed? If there were 50 first person was going to get healed, would you pray for 1,000? What often happens is we pray for two people, they don't get healed, we give up doing that. We are designed to move in love and power. I want to leave you, we do this at school a lot, I want to leave you with an activation, something you can do right now. Prophecy is a gift that is given to every single believer. All the way through Corinthians it says, eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. You are designed to prophesy. Which is very simply hearing something from God that builds up, encourages, and strengthens the person in front of you. Let's just clear up one thing. If you've ever had any prophetic words that didn't build you up, encourage, or strengthen, just flush them, because they're not from him. You have discernment. If someone has come to you and said, and the Lord God said that you are going to be horrifically paralyzed, that's not from God, because it doesn't build up, encourage, or strengthen. So just flush. And when you flush, everything you flush, you don't worry about anymore. Okay? What we're going to do in a minute is I'm going to get each one of you here to hear God for somebody else around you. I'm going to encourage you to take a risk, to celebrate taking a risk. And the thing is that you have been given the mind of Christ. You've been given an imagination. And I love working with people who says, I don't have any imagination. That's fine. And so what I simply want you to do is to find somebody you don't know. And it would be great if we could see some sort of quickly crossing over. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, is that okay? So find somebody you don't know and stand next to them, sit next to them. You've got 30 seconds and then I'm going to stop and then we'll do something. Ready? Go. 30 seconds. Right. Stop where you are. This is what I want you to do. To hear a word from God for somebody. If somebody in front of you, first of all, let your heart go out for them. They are God's son and daughter. No matter what you think of them, no matter whether they've wound you up, no matter what has happened between you and them, first and foremost, God created them in his image. So first of all, choose one please to go first, and let the person you're praying for, let your heart go out to them and just realize that this is a royal son and daughter standing in front of you. Okay? That's all you need. Then what I'm going to do is just ask the Lord to show you in your imagination a picture or a word for them. And as you see that picture or word for them, don't filter it. Don't go, oh, that's silly, or it's just a rainbow, or just a butterfly. Don't do any of that. Just don't filter it. Just check that it's going to encourage, build up, and strengthen. So if you see a picture of them dying, don't share that, please. We see a picture of them marrying you. Don't share that. Please, we'll get into that. But what I want you to do, I'm going to give you literally 30 seconds. And actually, what I want you to do, just to stop that whole brain, I'm going to work this through, will this work out for them, just literally share the first thing you see for that person. 30 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Stop right there. Okay? Okay, stop being spiritual. Stop, 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 stop. And now I want you to swap over. So the person who's now listening for the other one, let your heart go out to them and then ask the Lord for a picture for them. Okay, 10 seconds more. By the way, I know I'm being really cruel on the timings, but when you're in Tesco's, you don't have half an hour to get a word. Okay, so what I'd like you to do, if you shared a word with somebody and it made sense to them, can you just put your hands up in the air? Hands up if you got a word for somebody. Hands up if you got a word for someone. Okay, hands up if your heart went out to them but you didn't get a word for them. Where are you? Well done. Woo! That's awesome. Well done for loving and well done for trying. That's awesome. Hands up if you got a word for somebody and it was completely wrong. One, two. Awesome. Woo! Come on. That's awesome. Well done. Keep going. That's brilliant. Woo! Come on. Wow. That's awesome. Okay. Hands up if you got a word for somebody and it made sense to them. Hands nice and high in the end. You're not getting any claps or applause because that should just be the normal. So, my encouragement for you guys here in Ashton is this. Learn how to celebrate risk. Realize that you need one another. I haven't got time to go in the fact that, you know, most young men, I still try and consider myself a young man, we grow up with this little lie going on our head that we're not enough. You know, when an older guy comes and says, I just see what you do there and I'm so proud of you. That does something amazing to the younger men, older men here. That does something amazing to the younger men here when you go and encourage them and you say how proud you are of them. Same goes for you ladies. And young people, when you get an opportunity to say, hi, can you tell me about your week? I'd love to pray for you what you're doing this week. What you do is you're demonstrating family. And family's not easy. Let's not be unrealistic about it. Family isn't easy. But it just takes a few steps of loving one another. So celebrate risk. Be good family. And I just want to encourage you. You have everything you need already. So you don't have to get it, earn it. Just learn how to use it. And have lots of fun. Thank you so much for having me. If you would like to find out more about what we do as a school, or to be honest, why would really, if you just want to be supporting us in prayer, then please come and take some of these leaflets and have a great evening. Thank you very much for having me.